This morning and this evening, we want to focus on... we're almost out of time already. All right, we're going to focus on two things. This morning, we're going to talk about loving what God loves. Tonight, we're going to talk about hating what God hates. If we want to be like God, we're going to have the same perspective, the same point of view that He has. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Well, what kind of mind is that? What did He love? What did He hate? What did He want? What did He not want? And those are the kinds of things that we want to look at today. In Matthew 5, in verses 43 through 48, Jesus talks about love. And He talks about how important it is for us to love even our enemies. He says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. And then after He talks about this, and He talks about how easy it is to love those who love you, and so forth, then down in verse 48, He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And He says that in regards to our love. Are we perfect in love? We say, well, no, I know I'm not. I know there are things that I should do that I don't do. I know that I don't love everyone the way that I should. But do we love the right things? Maybe we are kind of like the Apostle Peter, who after Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus comes back to him and he says, Peter, do you love me with an undying, forever, no matter what kind of love? That's what the word agape really means. He says, Peter, do you love me with an agape love? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you with a friendship. You're kind of like my brother kind of love. Phileo. And sometimes we feel that way. We feel like God's calling us to love with this agape love. And we say, you know, I just can't reach that plateau. We need to be striving for that. We need to be reaching to have the kind of love that God has. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He didn't say sinless perfect here, but He's talking about the way we love. We may make all sorts of mistakes, but as the saying goes, if our heart's in the right place, if we do it with the right attitude, if we're still showing the proper love, God will be much more willing to forgive us of that and overlook that than if we've got the wrong attitude. If we're going out spiteful and mean and cruel, then even if we've got the truth, we're way off base because we don't have the love that He has. So let's look this morning at a few of these things, and we're going to just run through these quickly. There are several verses that we could read, but we're going to point out just one on each, and I'm sorry you don't have an outline, but I was gone most of the week and still putting this together this morning, trying to get things fleshed out the way that I wanted it. So we're no outline, but you can jot down some notes. First of all, God loves and has always loved those He has chosen. Those He has chosen. Well, what do you mean by that? Who's He chosen? Well, of course, He chose Israel. In the Old Testament, we read about how much He loved Israel, and there are a dozen verses that talk about this. Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8 talks a little bit about it in a way that I want to share with you. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God didn't choose them because they were special. He chose them because He was special. And we need to remember that in all of our relationships, that we don't love people because they're special. We love people because the one who loved us is special. I don't treat you the way I treat you because of who you are or even because of who I am, but because of who He is. And because if I'm going to be His servant, I'm going to have to love you like He would love you. So regardless of who you are. But that's what He says about the children of Israel. He said, I didn't pick you because there was something special about you. You weren't the biggest nation. You weren't the strongest nation. And this is just one section. He mentioned some other things. We know that there wasn't anything in particular about them other than that He had promised Abraham that He was going to choose His descendants. And he was keeping his word. He was keeping his oath. And he loved them. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God loved his people, and he still loves his people today. He loved the city of Jerusalem. He chose Jerusalem to be the city. Psalm 87:2, "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." Remember, God promised that he was going to choose the city, and he was going to put his name there, and there was going to be his temple there. And that was where everybody was going to come to worship. And that was going to be a special place. What was special about Jerusalem? Nothing, except that that's what God picked. When God picks something, that in and of itself makes it special. God chose Israel, and he chose Jerusalem. Some people still want to say that Israel is his people today, that Israel is his special chosen group, that he's still blessing them and still looking out for them. But that's not the case. The Bible teaches us that things have changed. It's not Israel anymore. It's now Christians and the church that he has chosen. And we see that throughout the New Testament, that we are the spiritual Israel. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." He loved the church. But more than that, he loves the individual Christians who make up the church. 1 John 3:16 and 17, John describes this for us. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him?" John tells us that the way we treat our fellow Christians is going to tell something about us. It's going to tell whether we have that love like God, because God loved us to this degree. Christ loved us to this degree. He loved us so much he was willing to die for us. He was willing to give all that he had to give for us because he had chosen us. And what about us? Are we willing to love one another with that kind of a love? This may be one of those areas a lot of times where we feel like Peter, we just can't measure up. We say, "Well, yeah, Lord, I'd die for you, but I'm just not sure if I could die for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. I just don't think I could do that." We need to pray for strength to love more and to love more deeply and to love the way that God loves. God loves the church, and he loves every individual Christian in the church. So much so that we understand, and I know it's been said before, if I were the only sinner in the world, Christ still would have come and died for me and for you. If you were the only one in the whole world, he would have loved you enough that he would have died for you. We need to understand the depth of his love, and we need to have a mind in us like Christ. Of course, Jesus' disciples that he had chosen, John 16:26-27, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and I have believed that I came out from God." Jesus' disciples were loved by the Father. Because they loved Jesus, they got a special relationship. They got to be able to ask the Father. And we can have that relationship. If we love the Lord, then we have the special ability to be able to go to him in prayer that others outside of Christ don't have. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Those outside of Christ don't have those blessings that we have. Then we see also those that he had chosen in John 13:1. He says, "Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Jesus loved his disciples. He even loved Judas all the way to the end. When Judas was about to betray him, he still loved Judas. He was still willing to reach down and wash his feet, even though he knew what this man was about to go and do. We need to have that kind of love. We see some specific individuals, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The Bible tells us that Jesus loved them. We see also that John the Apostle was a special one that Jesus loved. John 13:23. You see, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And in fact, John throughout his gospel writes of himself in the third person like that, as the one whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And sometimes people get the impression from that that John's somehow bragging about this special relationship that he had with God. First of all, we need to remember that God inspired him to write it that way. He didn't choose to call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. God chose those words. But secondly, we have to remember that it wasn't a matter of pride, but more a matter of amazement. That John understood that he wasn't worthy of the Savior's love, but Jesus loved him anyway. And he felt that love very deeply. He knew that Jesus loved him. Not just that he loved all the disciples, but that he loved him. And John expresses that. That here's the disciple that Jesus loved. How could he love me? But he loved me. Paul expresses some of that same kind of sentiment when he talks about the grace and mercy that he had received, even though he was the chief of sinners. And he said, but God still forgave me, even me. And so we need to understand that idea that God loves us individually as well. John 11:5, he mentioned how Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and Lazarus. He loved them. We see also that God loved Solomon. When Solomon was born, even though the sinful way in which David and Bathsheba wound up together, God still loved Solomon. In fact, he sent Nathan, the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, which means favored of the Lord or chosen by the Lord. That was what God called Solomon, because he saw something special there. He loved that special child. Unfortunately, Solomon turned away from the Lord toward the end of his life. The same thing could happen with us. Even though the Lord has loved us and He has chosen us as His saints, we could still turn away from Him as Solomon did. And what a disappointment. You know, it's one thing if somebody that you never cared about turns against you. You expect that. It doesn't hurt you. But what if your dearest, closest companion turns against you? Someone you love, someone you gave. Look at how God treated Solomon. Gave him the desire of his heart. Solomon, whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. And he would have, and gave it, then went ahead and gave him the rest of the things too. Gave him everything. And then for him to turn away his love from that God who had given him so much love. That hurts. And we can hurt God just as deeply as that when we turn away our love from Him, if we don't love Him as we should. But we need to also love those that He has chosen. We need to see who He's chosen, what He's chosen to love. And if we're going to have a mind like Him, we're going to love the things that He loves. But then we also see that He loves proper attitudes. Let's look at a few of the attitudes that He loves. First of all, righteousness and those who practice righteousness, or we would call them the righteous. In Psalm 45:6-7, the psalmist says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, Thy God, hath appointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows." In Hebrews 1:8-9, the Hebrew writer quotes this and applies it to Jesus, the Son of God. The Lord loves righteousness. And he loves those who practice righteousness. Proverbs 15:9 says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loves him that follows after righteousness." We do those things that are righteous. Psalm 146, 8 says, "The Lord loves the righteous." So we've got to have that attitude and follow through with the attitude of living a righteous life, loving righteousness, practicing righteousness, doing those things that God wants, those things that are right. Secondly, we see that God loves judgment. "For I, the Lord, love judgment," Isaiah 61:8 says. I love judgment. And by that, we understand him to mean right judgment. Justice being done. He loves it when people are treated properly, fairly. When the guilty are punished and the righteous are vindicated. God loves that. When the guilty go free and the righteous are punished, God doesn't like that. And we need to have that same type of attitude. Sometimes, however, we don't. Sometimes we cheer for the guy who's trying to get away with something. We're happy for the person who didn't get caught doing something wrong, especially if it's us. We know we got away with something. We think that's great. God loves judgment. He loves justice. He loves mercy as well, but justice is so important. Those things that are fair and right. Then we see also that he loves cheerful giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Every man, according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudging or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God doesn't want us to give because we feel like we've got to give to get to heaven. He wants us to give because we love him and we're cheerfully sharing and giving back to him that he's shared with us. He loves the cheerful giver. Then we see that God loves those who are willing to be corrected. The Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He loves those who are willing to be corrected. Proverbs 3:11 and 12, and then is also quoted in Hebrews 12:6. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights." He says, if he loves you, he'll correct you. If you won't take that correction, he's not going to keep loving you. Now, will he still love you? Yes. But will he love you? No. He's not. There's a different level of love for those that are willing to accept the correction. And then, of course, we see letter E, under number 2, those who are obedient. Those who keep Jesus' words. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Do we have these attitudes? Do we love righteousness? Do we love justice and judgment? Do we love cheerful giving? Do we love being corrected? Oh, and I know that no discipline at the time seems pleasant. The Bible tells us that. But do we acknowledge that being corrected is better for us than if we'd have been allowed to go on our own way? Are we obedient? Do we keep Jesus' words? Because he said, those who love Jesus will keep his words, and if we keep his words, then the Father will love us. And we're going to see in this last section the difference in the level of love that God has. Even though God loves with a godly love and he has an unconditional love, there's still levels to it, because we've just seen that he's going to love us if we keep Jesus' words, But then we turn around and we see that some of the very people who haven't kept Jesus' words, he still loves them. We see the rich young ruler. We see mankind in general, the whole world, sinners being loved by God in the Bible. Not that he loves who they, what they did or the way they lived their lives, but he loved them because of the soul that was in them that he wanted to save. You see, God not only loves the things he has chosen, he not only loves the proper attitudes and the good things, the righteous and the obedient, but God also loves those who need love. And I think that's what Jesus gets at when he tells us to love our enemies and be like our Father in heaven. Because he knew that there were some people who needed to be loved. They didn't deserve to be loved. But neither did we. We didn't deserve to be loved the way that God loved us. None of us could say, well, you know what? God owed me that. I was such a good person that God wouldn't have been just if he hadn't sent his son to die for me. It's ridiculous. We all know we didn't deserve that. There's no way we could have deserved that. Even if we'd lived perfect, we couldn't have deserved his son. For God to die for a man, even a perfect man, would have been a waste. If it was all about justice and fairness, but it wasn't. It was about love and mercy and grace. And we need to understand that. God loved those who needed love. The rich young ruler had come to Jesus and he said, you know, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him and he said, well, I've done that. And so then he said, what else is there? Mark 10:21 says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack. Go and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And we know the rest of that story. The young man went away sad. Because, not just because he had many possessions, but because he loved those many possessions. Too much to do what Jesus had asked him to do. Here was a man who needed to be loved. He needed to hear what Jesus said to him. And because Jesus did love him, you know, most preachers today would say, oh, well, hey, if you've done all that, you're all right. You're okay. Things are going well with you. But Jesus loved him enough that he knew that that man needed to hear the truth. And the truth was that he was not right with God because his heart wasn't right, because he loved his possessions more than God. Yeah, he kept all the commandments. He'd not dishonored his parents. He'd not killed. He'd not stolen. He had come by all of his possessions honestly. He said, yeah, I've kept all those commandments. Jesus said, you're missing one thing. You're still materialistic. You still love that stuff too much. Jesus loved him enough to tell him the truth. We need to see people who need the truth and be willing to tell them the truth. Even when it hurts. Even if they turn away sad and reject what we've told them, we still need to tell them the truth. Jesus loved that much and we need to love that much. He loved all mankind. Titus 3, 4-7 that was read to us. The love and kindness of God our Savior toward man. Toward mankind. We know, perhaps, the most famous verse in the whole New Testament, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Did the world deserve his love? No. He had created these people. They had been sinless. They had been sinned, turned away from him, rebelled against him, done everything imaginable, all kinds of sinful things. And yet, he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Then, we need to understand as well that he loved us when we were still sinners. He loves sinners. Not the sin that they commit, but he loves those people who are so caught up and so trapped in sin that he knows that they need to be released from it. Even if they haven't come to that conclusion yet, even if they haven't understood it. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 talks about this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, that's how much he loved us. Even when we were rebelling against him. You see why Jesus says, love your enemies and be perfect like your Father? Because that's when God showed his real love for us. And Jesus says, what is it if you love those who love you? So what? You really want to have a godly love? You love those who hate you. Love those who are your enemies. We often, in our prayers, we pray for our soldiers. And I don't want to belittle that. But we often pray for our soldiers whenever there's a war like there is right now. How often do we pray for our enemies? How often do we pray for those terrorists who are blowing themselves up and killing others, innocent women and children? And do we pray for them? Do we love them? Because I tell you what, we will never convert them to Christ by sending soldiers. You can't kill somebody into a proper relationship with God. And I understand, national, I get the, how nations work. But I'm talking about us as Christians. We've got to love as God loved, even our enemies. Now, you try that. You go home and say a good long prayer for Osama bin Laden. Go home and say a good long prayer for the terrorists and for those people who are blowing up bombs. Pray that they'll be saved, that they'll get to go to heaven. It'll be hard. But that's what Jesus calls on us to do. Love. Yes, we need to love what God has chosen. We need to love the good. Yes, absolutely. We need to love the righteousness. We need to love the obedient. We need to love the church that he purchased with his own blood. It's precious to him. Yes, we need to love all those things. But that's the easy part. It's easy to love those who love you. It's easy to love the good and that that's very appealing to us. It's easy to love that. But can we love that that's not appealing? That's where we need to take the next step. When we love with a depth of love that says, I care about your soul more than the sinful actions. And I can, not that we ignore them, not that we justify them, but I can look past all of the sin in you and all of the evil in you to see that there is a soul down there that God put there that needs to go to heaven. And when we can love like that, then we'll be showing godly love. And when we can love like that, people in the world around us will see that there's something different about us. Because Jesus said, even the tax collectors, even the sinners, love those who love them. You want to be like the world? Love the people that love you. If you want to be like God? You want to step above that? You want to reach a higher plane? Make it your purpose to love like God loved. No excuses. Just love. Not an emotional, feely, I want to give you a hug kind of love. God commands an action-oriented love. God didn't see a sinful world and come down and let them cry on His shoulder and pat them on the back and say, oh, it's okay. He loved them and sent His Son to die for them so that the problem could be taken away. And sometimes that's going to involve some tough love. We're going to have to tell people the truth when they're living in sin and won't get it right. That you can't keep living that way and be right with God. I have to do that. But that's real love. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you have not shared the kind of love with others that you should. Perhaps you want to focus on that more. Perhaps you've never taken advantage of the love that God shed His blood for you. Perhaps you're not a Christian. You've never responded to that. You're still a sinner. You're still in rebellion to Him. There's no better time than now to turn that around. To get right with God. Show Him that you're willing to obey Him so that He will love you with a deeper love than He already has, if that's possible. That He can love you even more. He loved you enough to die for you when you were a sinner, and yet He can love you more than that. He can love you deeper than that. Can you imagine? Probably not. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.